Hello, Devlin Bishop here, and welcome to the Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. I almost forgot the name of the show. That's never a good thing for a host, but you know what? I remembered it, and that's all that matters. How are you guys doing out there today? I'm doing really good. I've got a kind of a specialty show. You know, I've tried to do some different things because I don't have like a topic usually. Like I have a topic, but like I'm not one of those podcasts that have one topic. You know, I don't just talk about sports. I don't just talk about, you know, like entertainment. I kind of change it up. I can talk a lot about my personal life, memories. Sometimes I talk about different topics. But every once in a while, I have a situation come up in my life and I have to decide, do I talk about it or do I not? I recently did a show about depression and I got so many people telling me, you know, thank you for doing that show, that it really made me realize just how many people actually like listen to this show and actually learn from it. And that makes me feel awesome. So I had a situation come up recently where, you know, I went to the doctors and I told them that, you know, I just turned 50 years old and I know a lot of times there's some tests that people like to do and I think we should do them. And the doctor totally agreed and set me up for getting a colonoscopy. I think I said it right. You know, I can never say that word and then the first time I say it, right here on the podcast, it works. So anyhow, so I went to the endocrinologist or whatever they are called, and they set me up for an appointment. Now, they decided while they were there that since they were going to do a colonoscopy, they were also going to do a gastropy. You say, okay, I tooted my horn too much. I got the first word right. Gastanopsy? Anyhow, for those of you who don't know your medical terms, basically they want to put a camera in my behind, my ass, and one down my throat. And they decided we can do this all in one day. Of course, you know, I have all these big images in my head, you know, that are like a camera. Like, I quickly think of my little digital camera and I think, good Lord, how's that? But then I forget that, you know, they have made cameras that are very, very small. Then, of course, you also think that it's, you know, are they going to do this at the same time? And am I going to be awake for this? Am I getting spit roasted? And yeah, I use the word spit roasted. I'm pretty proud and a little embarrassed at the same time. But yeah, and they're going to do it at the same time. So I was like, okay, this is something that has to be done. You know, they can check me out and, you know, knock on wood. You know, here's actual wood being knocked. That they don't find anything. But if they do, hopefully they found it and we can deal with it. You know, because it's always better to know what you're dealing with. So anyhow, I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks. And today is the eve of what I'm going to do. And so tonight I begin my cleansing. So I've just had my, well, I like to call it my last meal because I was allowed to have a light breakfast and I had some toast and I had one poached egg and I enjoyed it like it was my last meal. Because if anybody knows me, I'm a real diva. And I know this procedure is done. From what I heard, this place does like multiple ones a day, like right at the doctor's office. But the truth of the matter is I feel that if there's ever going to be a tragedy where somebody dies on the table, it will be me. So I've never had to stay in the hospital except when I was a baby, and I've never had to do anything like this. You know, sure, I've been to the doctor, I've been to specialists, but I've never had anything big like this. So, of course, you know, all things go in your head and, you know, you talk to other people who had it done and everybody says, you know, oh, it's not so bad. You know, you don't feel the camera. It's microscopic and you are going to be asleep. Because I honestly was like, am I going to be awake for this? Because this sounds very not something I want to be awake for. So I thought I would break this podcast into three parts because I know a lot of men and women go through this. I decided that your friend Devlin is going to take you on my journey for this. Don't worry, I will not put pictures up. I'm sure Corda will find respectable pictures that she will put up, so it's not like you're going to see the procedure. But basically, the three things, I'm basically beginning my fast. I'm off for 2 days. And then tonight I begin my cleansing, which means I'm going to be drinking this horrible stuff. People have told me it's horrible. I haven't tried it already, but I have to make it at about 5:30. And then I take two pills, which I believe are laxatives. I'm not sure, but I don't know. The term for them has the word lax in it. So, I may not be a doctor, but I've seen enough Grey's Anatomy to know that's probably what we're looking into. And then I'm going to be on the toilet for the most of the day. Now, I am going to broadcast a little bit. Just because, you can blame Corda for this. Only be, and she's just finding out about it listening to this, so she's having a good laugh. But I told her I'm going to actually talk about the procedure. And she just said, well, I know you can't, record while it's happening because you're asleep, but I assume you're not going to be, talking on the toilet as well. And no, I will not be talking in the toilet. I did a bathtub show. That should be enough, okay? What do you people want from me? But what I'm going to do is I am going to, hopefully in between running to the toilet, I'm going to have a chance to podcast a little bit to tell you just how bad it is or how it's not as bad as all. And no matter what it is, I will be absolutely honest. And then if you have to go through it, then at least I can give you some insight on what you're dealing with. Then the third part of the podcast, I'm going to try to finish on either Thursday, depending after the procedure, or the day after, and I'm gonna tell you how the procedure went and everything. I will not name doctors or anything, just in case the experience turns bad. But yeah, I plan to do this, and sorry, have to do it. I'm a diva. I've warned you, but just in case something does happen, these could be the final words you're hearing me say, but everybody tells me, everybody gets it done, it's fine. Now, I'm fine so far. Now, I am a little bit scared, I'm a little anxious. I'm actually more scared about the cleansing, the whole running to the toilet, because they make it sound so horrible. And I'd like to at least be able to, like, maybe watch a half hour show and then go to the toilet. But there are people probably right now that have had this done that are laughing their ass off, thinking that I'm going to have any time to myself. But I hope it's just not like I'm straight into the toilet, because okay, it's gonna be bad. I'm pretty much, but I am a little anxious of the whole procedure, but at the same time, I'm gonna try to find humor in it, and I'm gonna podcast in some way, which even if it means just, quick little, hey, okay, this is where I am at right now, and that's probably what you get on the cleansing night. But I will try to, be a little bit more thorough, because I'll have time to recuperate and stuff like that. Anyhow, you get thinking about your life and stuff, and then you get thinking about like weird things, because when I'm reading how I'm doing this, there is some weirdness to it, because and yeah, and not the cleansing, I'm doing the cleansing, but because I'm diabetic, they said, well, because you have to fast, then we're not going to ask you to do certain, like, we're not going to ask you to starve too much. So they booked me in for a really early appointment. And they said it's going to be about 2 hours. You'll be asleep for most of it, but you will actually see the results there and then, which that scares me in itself, because I'm actually happy I'm going to see the results immediately, because I hate when you go to specialists and they do tests on you and then you're like waiting and waiting and your stress level is going up and then they forget about it and then 3 weeks later you're like, wait, they didn't call me. That means they didn't find anything. I actually wish they'd call you either way, but that doesn't happen a lot of the times. But what I do, then after they said that after you see it, there's this whole thing that Mike, who is my partner in this, and well, he's my partner in life. He should be my partner in my colonoscopy. He has to pick me up. But the way they say it, it's really shady, because it's like he has to go to the back door. And then he, yeah, I know. I get the irony of that too. And then basically he has to push a button and then he has to wait for the nurse and me to get there. And when he opens the door, I'm going to be standing there. And then he takes me in the car. And I'm like, what kind of state am I going to be in? I was telling this to my friend Damien, and I said, what? Like, it's almost like they're going to put me to sleep. And then they're going to like change me with a clone or a robot. And Damien was like, don't say that. I'm going to be like, next time I see you, I'm going to be looking to see if there's any differences or anything. You had to go science fiction on me, you know, Black Mirror. But honestly, I was just like, and then there's always things you don't think about. Like, you know, that you're already got these worries in your head. You know, like, am I gonna walk like I just like rode a rodeo, you know, stallion or something, or I was, you know, bucking broncos? Am I gonna walk like that? Most people say I'm not going to because you don't even feel it. It's more how you react to the, I can't even think of the word, you know, the gas they put you out with, or the, you know, the, you know, it's a needle. So Mike's the one that says, you know, so I'm here dealing with all this stuff. And then out of the nowhere, my beautiful partner has to remind me, well, I'm a little worried because you've never had anesthesia before. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, well, people react differently to the anesthesia. Sometimes they're nauseous. Sometimes you're just tired. Sometimes you're just, you know, you're not ready for anything. And so it's like, you know, some people have bad reactions to it. And I'm like, okay, now I didn't even think of that. And now I'm thinking about that. And I'm not only just thinking about if I'll have a bad reaction or I become like somebody who, like, oh my God, he died because we didn't know he was allergic to it because he's never had it before. You know? So now, on top of that, I'm also thinking about the fact that I don't like the idea of, like, you know, they're going to either gas me, or they're going to put a needle in me, or they're going to give me something to drink, and then they're going to say, count backwards from 10. And I'll be like, 10, 9, 8. And then what are they doing with me? I almost want to see footage of what they're doing to me because I, you know, they could be doing anything to me. And, you know, you hear stories, and I know I'm not the best looking person around, but you still hear stories. And I don't know if that kind of stuff's happening to me. I kind of want to be awake for it. Okay, I took it to a gutter level thing, but let's be honest. It's just very vulnerable. And then they wake me up, show me some pictures of my ass and throat, and then, you know, they ring the doorbell for Mike to be there. Then I also have the fear of, you know, what if they put me in a paper dress? You know, one of those, you know, those things. If I'll have that, I might be stark naked in front of these people. And, you know, I'm a little shy because I have a feeling, you know, if I'm standing there naked and I'm nervous and stuff, I'm going to be like, you know, shriveling in places that, you know, sometimes it might look more impressive when I'm not shriveling and I'm going to be anxiety filled. So I hope they take that into consideration if they see me naked. So yeah, I've got a lot of things on my mind. So what I'm gonna do is we're gonna take two breaks in this show. So the first time you hear me is right now, where I am, you know, still full of life, still being optimistic, have my nerves, but gonna go through. Then the next time you hear this, we'll take a short break. The next time, just in case I'm running to the toilet too much and I don't have time to explain what phase we're at, so I'm telling you now. So the next time after the break, you're gonna hear me. My voice will be in the midst of the cleansing process, okay? So I'll have taken my milkshake. I'll have taken my nutrients, my pills, my laxative pills. And then, so the next one will be my cleansing. So the running to the toilet every 5 minutes or whatever they tell me is going to happen. Then we will take another short break. And when you hear me, the procedure's done. If you hear my voice, please cheer or say a prayer because of the fact that that means that I made it through the procedure, which everybody tells me I will. But you can't prove that to me until I'm walking around the next day. And I'll tell you how the procedure went, or at least what I remember of it. And then, who knows, maybe if you have to go for one of these and you're a little nervous, you can hear Wow, if Devlin survived it, then I certainly can, because that guy can be really paranoid sometime and take things a little too eccentric. So anyhow, that's what the podcast is about today. I can't even imagine what we're going to put for the picture on the top, but we'll come up with something. Anyhow, I'm going to get ready to read my instructions. Time to make my Kool-Aid. And thank you for taking this journey with me. You are true fans. You are two true friends to me for following me on my colonoscopy, gastroscopy. I don't care if that's right. They're putting cameras in my mouth and ass. God help me. I got to make this through. Anyhow, we'll take a short break. And on the other side, I'm probably going to be in the bathroom.
What is it?
Hey, why it's buttercup. Popcorn, add sweet butter to hot popcorn. Mix it up, wrap it up, buttercup is born.
It's delicious.
So nutritious.
It's a taste delight.
It's so munchy.
Crisp and crunchy.
You'll enjoy each bite.
Eat butter-drenched buttercup. Popcorn at its best.
Served in a king-size cup.
It beats all the rest.
So I can't believe I'm actually going to try podcasting. I can't even talk tonight, but I'm going to because I promised. And yeah, I'll do anything for my 17 listeners or whatever I'm up to or below now. Anyhow, it's my cleansing night, as I told you, and it's been a rough night. I won't lie. I'll try to be discreet, as in I won't go too much into details, because for those of you who don't know what cleansing is, it's basically where, you know, they give you stuff and they, you know, they clean you out. You know, you just poop everything out that you don't need. So at 5:30, the process began. I made a big jug of this stuff. I can't even remember. It's horrible. It's horrible. You mix it in this big jug. And when I first tasted it, I like when I think it's a jug with 4 liters. They want you to drink 4 liters to clean you out. And when I first drank it, it had a weird taste. The bottle, right on the bottle, it says fruit flavors. Like it's exciting. It's exciting. Like, oh, it's going to taste like fruit. But honestly, when I first took my first glass, I thought, you know, it's not great, but it's not horrible. And yeah, that goes away fast. It actually tastes kind of like you're drinking garbage, but you're also, there's like this fruit flavor, like if you drank a really crappy glass of water that tasted like there was sewage in it, and then you had a Rolaid or a Tums after it. That's pretty much your fruit flavoring. But the first glass wasn't horrible. I thought, oh, I can do this. So you're supposed to drink a glass, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And yeah, I'm kind of into my third hour right now. And it's hard to get those glasses down right now. Like literally to the point where I was just chugging them before. And now I'm at the point where I drink about half and then. Now, I think I'm overdoing it because they say you should do about at least half a cup. So I've been doing full glasses because I just want to get rid of this stuff, to be honest with you. So, as I said, if you see your clicks in it, I have a little bit of a lull right now. So that's why I thought I'd try podcasting. I told you this is probably one of the shortest. But if you do hear a click and interruptions, that's because I'm running to the toilet because this stuff is like no mercy. So it started about 45 minutes in. I was on my third glass, and that's when I started having to run to the toilet. And you know, they warned that it would be kind of watery, but it's just been so, yeah, you think you'd be fine with that. And to be honest with you, it hasn't been as horrible as I thought. Like the drinking, I can't even imagine. People kept telling me how bad it was going to be. And I thought they were crazy the first, you know, few glasses. But yeah, by the end of it, you know, I thought about it. I love Coca-Cola. Shouldn't be drinking it, but I do. Even if I drank 4 liters of Coca-Cola, I think I'd be sick by the time I was finished. I think anything, water, anything. I just, so anyhow, I'm, you know, kind of at a stir. This is going to be a little graphic because, I have been going to the bathroom quite a lot. Like, literally, Mike and I have been trying to watch some TV. We've been watching short things, but literally, I will finish, come back, sit down, and like within a minute or two, I'm running back to the toilet. So, right now, I'm thankful for this lull. But, when they told me they're going to put a camera up my behind, I thought, my biggest fear was I'm gonna walk like a rodeo guy, like I've been riding, but everybody's told me you don't even feel it. But today I'm actually walking like that, and because I want you to know this experience, that nobody ever talks about this, but I am going to bring it up only because I want people to know that this is a real thing. One of the things they don't warn you about. They warn you about how bad the taste is, how often you'll be running to the toilet. But what they don't tell you is that my ass is on fire right now because of the amount I've been wiping it. And I'm not telling you you shouldn't wipe your ass. If you have a bidet, it would probably be better. But I'm not rich enough to have a bidet. But basically, I'm just so much pain, like to the point I kind of want to cry because it's on fire. And I'm like at the point of dabbing because I can't wipe anymore. It's just hurting so much. I think when I get another lull and I don't stupidly podcast through it, I'm going to run a little bit of bath water and just kind of soak my behind in there. Sorry if that was too graphic, but we're trying to deal with this. So I'm not going to stay long because my stomach's churning right now, and I told you this would be my smallest podcast part. Thank you for taking this trip with me. You are a true fan. You are a true fan. And if you skip this part over, you're still a true fan. I don't blame you. I wish I could skip this part over. The next time you hear me, and I'm going to start talking a little faster because I have to go to the toilet again, is that it's going to be after the procedure. I'm going to tell you how it goes. Since I'll be asleep for it, I won't go into any details, but I want you all to know that if you have to go through this or maybe relive this, you'll know what it is. Okay, I'm going to sign off because I really have to go, and I think I'll be sitting in a couple of inches of water right after that. So, thanks for continuing to listen. My next podcast, everything will be done. Everything will be fine. Or if there's nothing more, I didn't make it through, but I'm still trying to stay positive. Okay, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Hi, I'm Chili Dilly, the personality pickle. Packed in a jar for the freshest flavor. Served cold in a sack for you to savor. So dainty to eat, no muss, no fuss. An ideal snack for all of us. Crisp, tender, and tasty with a bit of spice. Buy one now. Taste how nice. Snack bar clerks will knock themselves silly, speeding your order for a real Chili Dilly.
Well, good news. You're hearing my voice, which means I survived the procedure. It's actually the day after the procedure. It went well. Everything went well. I won't go into personal details, so I won't tell you what the results were, because that's my own personal business. But I do want to go through the procedure with you because of the fact that I know a lot of people have to go through this, and I want them to know that if I, who am a big wuss, big thing, I know, I'm a survivor at heart, but honestly, when I'm going through these things, I can be a bit of a diva. I even posted like a cryptic status on my Facebook just in case I died through the procedure, and I didn't want, like the last status to be something stupid like, I'm thinking of having fish sticks tonight or something. Okay, I've never posted that status, but you know what I mean. But anyhow, I wanted to follow through. So anybody who might have to go through this or thing will at least know what they're going into. And I'm not trying to color code it or anything. I hate when, doctors and people try to make it sound like, oh, it's simple, it's easy. Well, it is. But I want you to know the things that you don't expect or anything like that. Now, I have to say, I'm giving a shout out and a grr to Jimmy Kimmel right now, because apparently the same day or the day before, I decided I was going to record this, apparently he came out and did this thing. So I know a lot of people are going to see this because I'm posting this much later and say, oh, he's ripping off Jimmy Kimmel. As much as I'm a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel and I love everything he does, I actually recorded the first part of this before I knew Jimmy Kimmel was going to be doing this on his show. So if you want to think that I'm just copying him, that's fine. But I'm being totally honest. I couldn't believe when I turned on my YouTube and said, oh, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's, you know, going for a colonoscopy. And he's like talking about it and stuff. So, well, I bet you he's not getting as graphic as I did. But anyhow, it's cool. If you want to think that I copied him or whatever, that's fine. But I'm telling you, this was my idea. And Jimmy. Why'd you do this to me? Anyhow, the day of the, I finally got some sleep the night after the cleansing. I slowed down going to the bathroom and I was just exhausted. My ass was on fire. It felt better after I sat in the tub, but, and I was so exhausted, I just kind of went to bed and, you know, just thing. Mike was sweet. He left the lights on in the bath thing, thinking that that would, you know, be faster if I had to go up. I did actually sleep 5 hours before I had to go to the bathroom. And then I went to the bathroom and basically just, you know, at this point, you're only going a little bit. You know, there's nothing left inside of you. I took care of that the night before. So I tried to get some more sleep knowing I had a big day ahead of me, and it just wasn't happening. So at 4 o'clock, I was curled up in a blanket and watching, you know, my Roku and watching YouTube on it. And just trying to take my mind off things. Then about, my appointment was about 8 o'clock. And about 6:10 was the last time I actually went to the, you know, to do number 2 in the thing. And every other time after that, you know, I would just go to the toilet and nothing would come. But my stomach was still telling me that thing. It was an odd feeling because I would sit on the toilet and... A little graphic here, but I just want to kind of, again, explain that you're not alone if you have to go through this. But I felt like I had to go to the bathroom, and I felt that I literally had more up there. But when I started, like, pushing a little bit, I thought, wait a minute, I shouldn't have to be pushing, you know? And I have a feeling that this is just kind of a feeling you have. So I felt that if I pushed, I might freak out and find my sphincter right there in the toilet. And I realized that nothing's going to happen. So I just concentrated on getting ready. And Mike was took the day off because he didn't know how I would be. And we drove there. And all through the drive, I kept having this feeling I have to go to the bathroom. But I knew nothing would happen. So I wasn't worried because that was my fear was, am I going to still have to be going to the bathroom? When I'm but I pretty much was empty at this point. When I got in, I won't say the place I went, but I will say that the people were very incredibly nice. It's a really renowned place in Hamilton, and everybody was just handled the situation so wonderful and respectful. I can't thank them enough for it. And then basically what happened was they took me in, and, you know, Mike and I, you know, looked at each other like, you know, this is going to be all over in no time. And, you know, Mike had told me that when he was a kid, when, you know, he had some stuff done, they basically just put him out. He was out, you know, like that. And then when he woke up, it was all over. So he told me, you know, he was reassuring me. I was still, you know, trying to be positive, but I threw a couple pessimistic things in there because that's what I do. And then we were separated and, you know, it was like, we kept the farewell down to a minimum, but you could tell that there was a moment in our eyes that we locked saying, you know, oh my God, this could be the end, you know, but we didn't handle it like that. I did send a couple emails out the night before and the day of, just in case. As I said, I made sure I had a nice status so that if, you know, some freak accident killed Devlin Bishop on the table of a colonoscopy, you know, I didn't have some weird status. I wanted something. I quoted Alan Parsons Project, their song Time, one of my favorites. So I've always said that that would be played at my funeral. So I decided to put it. Only a few people would know that that was my funeral song. And now whoever's listening to this would know it's one of my songs I want to play. And a song I always said I'd love to be the last song I heard. That or Magic by Olivia Newton-John. I know we don't get to choose that, but I do. So anyhow, I went into the procedure and, you know, I went in and a lovely lady told me, just go into that room and disrobe. And I felt really weird because I had no jewelry on. Mike had my wallet and stuff. I always feel weird when I don't have my wallet on me. And I had no jewelry. And even though they said you could have like painted fingernails, I had cleaned my fingernails off on the Tuesday before. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go in without any. And so it was weird. I felt really naked. And this place was like, you couldn't wear cologne. You couldn't. So I really felt really weird. So, you know, I had a nice bath at the beginning. So I felt clean, but I felt really naked. And then they told me to go in, strip naked, leave my socks and shoes on. And they gave me one of those fabric hospital gowns that are so fashionable. And they told me to put it on like a regular one, like a hospital gown where your ass is hanging out. And then they gave me a second one that they put on as a coat. So you kind of have two protections. So that was good because I wasn't sure if I was going to be showing my wanker or not. And so I'm kind of happy I didn't. It's not that I'm not proud of my wanker. And I don't call it wanker. I don't know. It sounds nice. The macaque. It's just that I really don't, you know, I like to show that to special people, you know. I like that I didn't even just say, you know, I like to only show that to Mike. I said special people saying that, yeah, no, I'm still up to it. Trust me, at my age, anybody wants to see it, I'll show it too. But, you know, it was cold, so it wasn't going to look impressive. You know, I usually like, you know, it to be, you know, like room temperature. You know, a little bit of, you know, girth to it. Okay, well, I'm talking way too much about my penis, the right lighting. You know, I like to primp it, prop it. Okay, anyhow, so I go in, I take off my clothes, and, you know, I stand in the hall with a bag of my clothing. You know, they gave me a plastic bag to put all my clothing in. And then I was just literally, like, standing in the hallway with these two gowns on and my shoes and socks. Really great look. I really wish I could have took a picture, but I wanted to respect people that were in there. I think people getting their asses examined might be a little nervous if they heard, you know, photographs being taken, you know, in the place. So I was very respectful. So anyhow, they took me into this medical area. It wasn't really a hospital. They did it right at the place, but it is kind of like a hospital because there's lots of these places and it looked like a hospital. So when I sat in there, she asked me if I had ever had this done before. I go, no, I've never been in a hospital. My last time in a hospital as a patient was when I was born. So I'm sitting there and she puts like, you know, the stuff. I don't know if it's not the IV, but they hook me up to the machines to see my blood pressure and all that stuff and the beeping and all that. And I'm laying there and she says, okay, just relax. And I'm just sitting there. And when she leaves, that's when I had my anxiety attack. Not a bad one. I calmed myself down pretty good, but I really was just sitting there. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional. Can you believe this? I was sitting there thinking, I've never been in a hospital and I've always prayed that I didn't have to go to a hospital. You know, I wanted to be the one guy that never had to stay overnight in a hospital. You know, like I know everybody does. I'm sure there's lots of people that don't, but so I'm kind of nervous and I'm dealing with this anxiety. And even though Mike is a couple of rooms away, I'm feeling really alone right now. I want to see, you know, I want to see faces of people I love. And so basically I calm myself down and the nurse comes in and she was wonderful. And she said, okay, don't be worrying. Everybody's nervous the first time. And I said, I'm nervous, but I believe in you. Here I am being motivational speaker. I thought, if this lady's taking care of me, I believe in you. So I said, now, if this was your first time and my first time, things might be a little different. She laughed. I made her laugh. So I thought that was good. And then she hooked me up to this thing. Now, for some reason, I believed this was an IV. And that hurt. Like, she put it into my hand. And I thought, oh, here it is. This is the IV. This is where I count back to 10. And I'm going to be in La La Land. So I'm sitting there. And I'm already tired because I was up at 4. And I start deciding, okay, I'm just going to let myself fall asleep. I tried to concentrate on positive things. And, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, this IV is not working. I'm hearing everything, and I'm literally, like, everything. I'm hearing new people come in, and they're saying, okay, you know, take your clothes off, leave your shoes and socks on, like, almost to the point I've heard it enough that I could probably teach that as well. I'm hearing another guy who's, like, just coming out of thing, and he's, like, in, like, oh my God, it hurts. It hurts so much. Now, already being anxious, I really don't need to hear this. But then I kind of calm down because the doctors come in and say, you're not in the procedure. You're in the recovery area. It's already done. There's nothing hurting you. And, you know, he's, oh, I'm so hurt. So he was coming out of the anesthesia a little harder than others. So that calmed me down knowing that, okay, he's not really in pain. Or even if he is, he might be in pain. But it's not because of the procedure. It's because of, you know, maybe he was on his arm wrong or something like that. So he kept asking for water. And they said, no, you're just, we'll give some to you in a minute, but you're coming out of the sleep and you're coming out hard. So you might choke on the water. But he was begging him for water. And then this other guy, they kept just saying, breathe, you know, breathe. And I wasn't sure if he was trying to go to sleep or if he was waking up. But they told him, breathe, deep breathe. So I'm hearing all this, and it must be about 20 minutes, half hour. And I'm thinking, I'm tired. I have my eyes closed, but I am wide awake. So suddenly I hear a man's voice, Mr. Bishop. And I'm like, still here, right? And I opened up my eyes because I wanted to make sure, like, if they were getting ready to stick this big camera up my ass, that I was awake. Like, this is working, that, you know. But I didn't say that. I'm just letting them know. And he goes, I'm going to take you to the room, and then we're like, and then I realized, okay, I'm not even being put to sleep yet. So here I am thinking, I'm already like, it's not working, it's not working. My body must be like, oh my God, I am Superman. It's not taking. So I just keep thinking, wow, this guy's really cute. And then I know, okay, well, that's good. That makes me less anxious. And he was really sweet and very cute. And he took me to the place and I met all these people. And then the doctor that I had met prior came in and he was very nice and stuff. They rolled me on my side and then they put this big thing in my mouth to hold my mouth open. And I'm still thinking, I don't really want to be awake for any of this, but okay. So there I am, my mouth forced open. And basically they just put air under my nose. You know, the thing that loops over your ears, and they told me to breathe heavily. The doctor came over to me and had me sign something, which I find it weird that they have you sign something while you're already starting to breathe the air, but I couldn't read anything. So I thought that was the only, well, one of the shady things about it, but you know what? I didn't care at that point. Just get me out of here. They could have had, I could have been signing to get like a sex change. I could have been signing to have a vasectomy. I didn't care. I just, yeah, okay, there we go. Anyhow, so after that, the doctor came over and he just said to me, think of things that make you happy. Think of nice things. And then he joked, think of food. And now, I don't know if this was like one of his standard jokes or because one, he knew I'd been fasting for over a day, so he knew I was probably starving at that point, because at that point it would have been over the 24-hour mark, Or if, you know, he said, oh, he's a fat guy. He probably thinks of food all the time. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't be cynical, but that's what crosses your mind. But the wonderful thing is when he said, think of happy things, things that make you happy. Before he even said food, I thought of three things. I thought of my partner, Mike. I kept looking at his face. I thought of Corda. I thought of her lovely face. And I thought of Damien. And as much as I wanted to think of every person I ever loved, these I knew were the three faces that I most wanted to see right now. Because they are the three most important people in my life. They're also the three most beautiful faces I've ever seen. And I just kind of wanted one of them in front of me at that moment in time. But then I thought, well, if this is my final minutes on Earth, those are the three people I would want to be with. As I was thinking about them, I literally just started breathing heavy, and I swear within just seconds, I was gone. I was literally gone. The next thing I knew, I woke up, and I was in a different room, and I knew something was up. I didn't feel any pain down my throat where they put a camera. I didn't feel any pain, thank the Lord, up my behind. I was just there. And it was so relief. I felt wide awake. Mike was worried because I'd never had anesthesia that maybe I would have affected, because he had a bad reaction when he was younger and had it, but he said that was going back to when he was a kid. So he assumes anesthesia might be a lot better now. But I didn't. I felt really wide awake. But I stayed laying there until somebody came, and I could hear my heart. They were measuring my heart, and they would keep checking it and keep telling me to breathe. And then I realized that other guy I heard was also must have been coming out earlier. And they just said, breathe, breathe, heavy, deep, deep breaths. And I realized that when she left, I kind of looked. And I saw that it was probably my blood pressure. I hadn't taken my high blood pressure pills, so I had a feeling my blood pressure was there. So I rolled on my side thinking, okay, I'm going to breathe deeper if I'm on my side. And so she kept coming back a few times because they weren't going to release me at a certain point. I remembered I actually had dreamed, even though there didn't seem like there was any time for it. But I remember a small, short dream that involved one person, one of the three that I mentioned. I don't even know if I'm going to mention the dream to them. I have told them about it, but I don't know. It almost felt more like a premonition than a dream, because it wasn't like abstract or out of the way. It's something that could really have happened. So I think I'm kind of just not sure how to take it. I'm not sure. But if I share it, it will be with that person, not the whole world who's obviously listening to my podcast right now. After that, they've let me get dressed. I guess my blood pressure was better. My heart rate was better. And then they basically came in and told me my results. As I said, I won't get personal. That's my business. But there was no cancer found. I will share that. They may have found a couple of minor things, but again, nothing that I can't deal with. But then they basically said, okay, you can go wait for Mike. And I sat in a chair with another man. I found out it was the man who was moaning and groaning, so he was just waiting. And then while we were sitting there, I heard a doorbell. They went and answered the door, and I heard a woman's voice, and they told the man to come, and his wife was there to pick him up, and then they went. And then I was reading, you know, they gave me prescriptions, they gave me, you know, pamphlets, stuff like that. So I'm reading all this, you know, trying to sink it all in, thankful that I was going to get another day on planet Earth. And they basically just, the doorbell rang again, and I heard Mike's sweet voice, and I put my coat on and went, and You know, it was always shady. This is my part. I always thought it was weird because you have to go with somebody, and I get that. Even if you arrange a taxi to come for you, you still have to have someone go with you because you might be a little out of it. Now, I was actually fine. I could have. I don't drive a car, and I felt I could have drove the car that day. But Mike loved that. Oh, anyhow, I'm jumping ahead. Anyhow, so what you're supposed to do is you just come to the back of the office door. You ring a doorbell, you open the door, and I'm supposed to be standing there. So it's just like kind of weird and shady. So they tell me, okay, he's waiting for you over there. And, you know, I'm looking and all I can see is curtains. And I'm like, I'm not pulling any of these curtains back. I go, where's the door? And then I hear Mike going, I'm behind this one. So I open the door. There's Mike there. I'm happy to see him. We get out. Head home quickly. You know, they told me only have a light diet. I said, I don't give a shit. Get me an Egg McMuffin. Let's go through a drive-thru. Get me an Egg McMuffin. Mike checked on me. I was doing fine. He said, could I run into the bank quickly? I have to take care of some stuff. I think I wolfed down those Egg McMuffins. I don't know if that was the light breakfast they meant, but I was so ravishingly hungry at that time. Now, when I was reading the paperwork they gave me, Mike got a kick out of the one thing, and I'm going to read it. I don't know if this is a legal agreement, but I will anyhow. One of the things they say that after you have a colonoscopy and the other one, it says, do not drive, operate machinery, drink wine, beer, or any other type of alcohol. Don't make major decisions or travel for 24 hours due to the side effects of the sedation and medication you receive. Mike and I just had a good laugh with the don't make major decisions. That was awesome that they even put that. I like that they put that. It actually was my final smile after quite the adventure. I actually felt okay. I had no discomfort in my throat. I had no discomfort in my rear end. I was a little out of it. But overall, Mike said I was pretty good. I played up the sickness. That's what I do. So, you know, like, but you know, the only thing I have to say is that my head was cloudy for a good chunk of the day. It just felt like there was a cloud, and you know, that's why I was going to podcast, but I was a little achy. I had, you know, I took some, Tylenol because I just was like, it wasn't really a headache. It just felt off a bit, and I was really hot. The night before when I was, you know, cleansing, I actually felt cold quite a lot. Like I was like, if anybody who knows me, I don't get cold that easily and everything chills me. I'd be like, come in, could you turn the fan down? Could you turn the fan off? Could you close that window? Could you close that window? And then Mike would do all this cause he's awesome. And then I'd be like, could you turn that fan on? Maybe we could go open a window. And so, but I was just like hot. I was hot everywhere I went. I just felt like I needed a little personal fan on me and stuff. So anyhow, I survived the colonoscopy. For the most part, it went well. As I said, you know, they are looking into a few things, but you know, they said the cancer word is probably not an option. Like they literally said no cancer. So I take that for their word. And they said that if nothing comes through with any follow-ups, I probably won't even have to get checked out again for like 10 years. So I'm okay with that. But anyhow, I wanted to make this because I like to share things with you. And hey, if I did like recorded in the middle of a color festival and did a bath, you know, with you guys, I thought I could share this for you. And I wasn't trying to do it so you'd be thinking of my ass all day. I did it because I know some people get scared of this stuff. And, you know, I think some people really put some scare into it. And, yeah, there are parts that are hard. But I hope that I've helped you understand if you have to go through this or if you're a young guy and have to eventually do this. This was my choice. I actually asked for this. I told the doctor when I went in for a checkup that I said, I've turned 50. I think it would be a good time to do all those tests. And she said, no, I agree. And so, you know, I asked for it. You know, some people wait, but I was really kind of wanted to do this because I know I'm getting older. I haven't had many physicals or checkups. So I wanted to find out what was going on. And I'm really glad I did. You know, yeah, I hate that whole, well, if we find anything, we'll call you. Because basically, I'm going to have it in the back of my mind to be anxious about it. And then one day I'll be either get the phone call and freak out, or second of all, I won't get the phone call and I'll forget about it and think, oh, I guess I'm okay. Whatever the case, I am glad I did it. And I hope that if you have to go through it or have to go through it again, or maybe it's something you're a young person, you don't have to worry about this for a while, you can remember that, hey, if Devlin could survive it, I can too. I hope you enjoyed my journey. Thank you for taking it. Boy, you guys, if you made it to the end of this one, thank you, because this is not, you know, just some pleasant, you know, talking about memories and stuff like that. I'm hoping to have a co-host in here soon. I've been lazy about asking a few. I've asked a couple, but, you know, I haven't gotten any real commitments yet. But hey, if you're listening to this and you want to come on the show, let me know. I'm totally for people asking me to do this. And I'm glad I did this too. And I can't wait to talk to you again very, very soon.